Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm. That is my law firm. My name is Tim Seckler. I am an estate and elder law attorney. And what we do at our firm is we help folks do wills and trusts and powers of attorney. We help with long-term care planning. If you have a loved one in a nursing home, we help protect their savings, their house, because people don't work their entire career to lose it all to the nursing home. We also do post-death administration and try to make that process as easy as possible for everybody. What we're going to talk about this week is Medicaid. We're going to talk about how it really works. We're going to talk about why you need to know how it really works and how you can make the rules work for you. So before we get into that, I need to do my little disclaimer that this show is for your education and information. It is not for you to go out and make legal decisions on your own. You don't make decisions based on what you hear on this or any other radio show. These issues are complicated. And if you have a legal problem like a nursing home admission, you need to talk to an elder law attorney. You need to talk to somebody that knows the ins and outs of the rules, because some of the things I say on this show may not apply to you, even though you think they do. And so this world is more complicated. This elder law world is more complicated than you can imagine. And it's not a self-help area. You know, keep the do-it-yourself projects for Home Depot. Work with the experts on elder law issues. So here's the thing. What I want to talk about today, I'm calling the episode Medicaid is Not a Four-Letter World. And the idea is there is this thing, this understanding out in the world that Medicaid is a bad thing. Like financial advisors say it, accountants say it, lawyers say it, that I don't want to be on Medicaid. Well, I guess maybe you don't, I don't know. But I can promise you, most people that are in nursing homes want to be on Medicaid, because if you're not on Medicaid, a nursing home costs $12,000 a month. And if you are on Medicaid, it costs your Social Security check, you know, $1,500 a month. And so in that situation, Medicaid is the answer, folks. And if you are a retiree or soon to be retiree and you're worried about what happens if I get really, really sick, you got to understand at least some of the rules of this game, because if you don't understand the rules of the game, you're playing it either way. You may as well understand how it works and how you can protect yourself and your family. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the fundamental problem here is that Medicare, the healthcare system that we have for seniors, Medicare should pay for long-term care, but Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care. Medicare pays for acute care. Okay. It's the fundamental problem. So I use this example all the time. Imagine there's two guys, all right? And let's say Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones is walking down the street, and he falls over from a heart attack. All right? What happens? Well, the bystanders call 911. They get him an ambulance. They get him to the hospital. Maybe he needs some sort of open-heart surgery, a pacemaker, whatever he needs. And if he's over 65 and he goes through all that acute care, Medicare pays for that. Yeah, sure, co-pays, co-insurance, but Medicare is doing the heavy lifting for this gentleman. Let's say instead he's walking down the street and he has a stroke. So bystanders call 911, they get him to the hospital where they stabilize him. But let's say it's been a bad stroke and now he's got cognition problems and he needs help. So let's say we're going to transition him to a skilled nursing facility where he's likely going to live the rest of his life. Well, now Mr. Jones' Medicare plan is only going to pay for 20 days, maybe up to 100 days, depending on how it's going, after which he's on his own at over $11,000 a month in Pennsylvania. So we're distinguishing. We've got a healthcare system that distinguishes how you fare in your senior years based almost entirely on the healthcare event you will ultimately have, which is almost entirely out of your control. And so it's a roll of the dice. And if you don't like your financial future and your kids' opportunity to receive a legacy being subject to a roll of the dice, then you need to understand how Medicaid works, because Medicaid is the name of the game when it comes to paying for long-term care. they pay for something like 2/3 of all long-term nursing home stays in this country. And if you think about that number, that's a big number. And if people didn't go into the nursing home eligible for Medicaid, they become eligible for Medicaid because the system requires you to go broke. And so I want to teach people, we're going to do some of it in this show, about how to not go broke, because most of us are going to need some form of long-term care. Something like 20% of us are going to need a long-term stay in a nursing home. And I don't like the odds. I've got grandparents on both sides with dementia. And I can't prevent that. I mean, there's a lot of scientists and doctors working on how to prevent that, but we can't prevent it today. But what I can do is I can understand, okay, but given the fact that I may get this and that's out of my control, I can understand how me getting an illness like that can impact my family and my finances and make decisions about how to protect myself. Now, there are people out there that say you shouldn't do what I'm about to tell you. Okay. As a matter of fact, it's illegal to do what I'm about to tell you. And there's this joke amongst elder law attorneys that what we do is break the law every day. And the history of this is back in like the 1980s, there was this law came out that said that you're not allowed to do Medicaid planning. You're not allowed to do planning to gain eligibility for Medicaid benefits, which became known as the granny goes to jail law, right? Which, as you might imagine, the granny goes to jail law became unpopular. And so then they changed it and they said, okay, it's not illegal to do planning to become eligible for Medicaid. It is now illegal to give advice on how to become eligible for Medicaid. So it went from granny goes to jail to the granny's lawyer goes to jail law, which immediately the attorney general at the time, Janet Reno, came out and said, there is no way we're enforcing this. It's a clear violation of the attorney's First Amendment right to free speech, to give advice, to help their clients. We're not enforcing it. And it's never been enforced and it will never be enforced, but it is still technically on the books, which means the rest of the content of this radio show today will be illegal. Interesting, right? But here it is. And I'll tell you, on top of that, there's another thing that happens out there. Forget the law. I'm not really concerned about the law, that law, because it's utterly unenforceable. But there's this other thing that is perhaps even more evil, and it is this thought process that you shouldn't do what I'm about to tell you how to do. And I'll tell you a story. I had a family member that went through a long nursing home stay and cost a bunch of money. And at the time, I wasn't practicing law and didn't really know how to do this stuff. And when I did graduate from law school and I did learn how to do some of this stuff, I called this relative's attorney and I said, hey, I'm doing this thing called elder law where we can help protect people's homes and money from nursing homes if they have long-term care. I know you don't do it because you didn't help my family member. So why don't we work together? You know, the next time someone comes to your office with an issue like a $10,000 a month bill to a nursing home, we can co-counsel. See, lawyers are allowed to work together on cases. So I called this guy and I said, well, you know, here's an opportunity for us to help some people. And this guy says to me, Tim, I think people just need to pay their own way. And if I could have reached through the phone and punched this guy in the nose, I would have done it, because what that meant was that he knew when my family member was sick that there were steps that could have been taken to help protect my family. He knew that there were steps that could have been taken to protect the money, and he just didn't do it, which in most areas of the law we call malpractice. Right? If I knew that there were steps I could take to get my criminal client out of jail and I just didn't do it because I thought he was a bad guy, that is called malpractice. If there were steps I could take to help my divorce client get a better result and I just didn't take it because I thought that my client should pay his former spouse more, that's called malpractice. And if you know that you can help somebody protect their home from the nursing home and you don't do anything about it, that's called malpractice. But it's born from this concept that is, oh, Medicaid planning is bad. Medicaid planning, you shouldn't do that. And I'll tell you, it still lives. This idea still lives amongst your financial advisors. It still lives amongst some attorneys. You don't want to be on Medicaid. I mean, imagine a financial advisor, right? His job is to make you money, or her job is to make you money, and then spend it wisely in retirement and do all the rest. Well, it's an extremely uncomfortable conversation for somebody whose job is to make you money to say, hey, we need to plan for the day when you run out of money, right? So they don't like talking about it, but they know that if you go to the nursing home, you can go broke, right? So I just want to dispel with this whole nonsense that Medicaid is some bad thing, that Medicaid planning is some bad thing. Look, if you're going to make what I call the moral objection to Medicaid planning, you shouldn't do it. You can, but you shouldn't do it. Well, to make the moral objection about Medicaid planning is to assume that the system is moral to begin with, right? That the Medicare system, that the healthcare system in this country is moral to begin with, so planning to work the system must be immoral, right? But there's nothing moral about a system that requires a stroke patient or an Alzheimer's patient to go broke while a cancer patient or a heart attack patient are financially secure. There's nothing moral about that. It's just the system. And if you know that it's the system, and you know that there are steps you can do to make the rules of the system work for you, why wouldn't you do that? There's nothing immoral about that. We do it every day. I don't have to take my tax deduction on my tax return every year. If I didn't, I would be considered stupid, right? If I didn't take the deduction, if I didn't attempt to benefit my family, I would be making a mistake. But if the rules say that there are these things you can do to protect yourself if you're in a long-term care situation, for some reason, people don't do it. And so, look, there's a couple of different ways that we can do it. Our case is really boiled down to two different cases, what we call pre-planning cases, which we usually use trusts to help families protect their money from a potential future long-term care event. And we also do what we call Medicaid crisis planning, which is when a family member ends up in a nursing home and they haven't planned ahead. And so they start getting these bills for $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a month. And then they call us and say, hey, we understand that there's some things you can do to help, right? All right. So if you want to learn more about this stuff, this is a radio show. It's only half an hour long. I don't get to really dive in the way that I would like. We have all kind of information for you. All right. So if you go to my website, SechlerLawFirm.com, SechlerLawFirm.com, there you can sign up for a workshop. So the workshop that we do, we have a couple coming up this month and every other month, is really about how to effectively plan ahead. So if you want to know how to protect your house and your savings from some potential future nursing home issue or some potential future creditor issue, that's the workshop for you. It's called our Asset Protection Workshop, and you can register for it for free on our website. If you cannot make it to the live workshop, then you can catch it as a pre-recorded workshop, also available at SechlerLawFirm.com. It's under the Workshops tab. You can scroll down, and you'll find the pre-recorded workshop. All right. So go there, SechlerLawFirm.com, or give us a call, 724-841-1393, and we'll teach you the things that you need to know to help protect your family from some future event. I also want to talk about what happens if you don't have the time to plan ahead. If you have a family member currently in a nursing home, or if you have a family member about to be in a nursing home, or if your neighbor is, or somebody at church is, there are ways that you can protect your dollars from long-term care costs even after you're sick. It really boils down to, do we have a good power of attorney? Okay, so that relates back to planning ahead. So if we have a good power of attorney, or if the person who is in the long-term care setting still has their mental capacity, maybe they're in there for mobility issues or some other issue, there are things we can do to really protect a lot of dollars. They're complicated strategies. They are strategies that you really wouldn't employ from a financial standpoint unless you were in this situation. But once you're in the situation of getting a $12,000 monthly bill, then there are steps you can take to protect assets. So we teach this as well. So what I would like you to do, if you are concerned about that, there's a couple of resources that you should know about. If you go to secularlawfirm.com, one thing you can do, and it's right on the homepage, right on the top, sort of at the right-hand corner, is a free downloadable Medicaid guide. So if you click the button, you can get the guide. It's a couple of page document that we've written that gives you sort of an overview of the Medicaid rules. The second thing that you can do is you can come to our new Medicaid Nuts and Bolts workshop. So we are, our estate planning workshops have been popular for years and years and years. They're always well attended. And what we've started to do is we've started to put a Medicaid, nursing home Medicaid workshop on our calendar. We're going to do it twice a month. You can find the dates at secularlawfirm.com. And when you come to this workshop, this one is really about helping folks who have a loved one in a long-term care setting and are trying to protect assets from that bill. Come to the workshop, because here's the thing. The nursing home, if you're in a nursing home, the nursing home, when you edit the admission time, is required under the law to give you this Medicaid application, but they don't tell you how to become eligible for Medicaid. They're just required to give you the application, but sometimes it's a terrible idea to fire off that application because you might have transfers. You might have given something away in the last couple of years, and it is absolutely the wrong time to file the Medicaid application. So when you're in this situation and you're in a stressful situation because family members are sick and family members have just been admitted to the nursing home, in all likelihood they don't want to be there, but they need to be there, then there is a situation that occurs where the nursing home wants paid. The family doesn't really understand where they are, right? So here is a nursing home creditor that has a bill for $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a month, and they hand you this thing that looks like a Medicaid application. They hand you all this other information that you're in a stressful position to begin with, and the family doesn't know where to go. And there's this inclination on the family's part to not want to share anything with the nursing home because they don't know if the nursing home is a friend or an enemy at this point in time. You know, I don't want to share a whole bunch of financial information with this nursing home. Are they going to bill me more? The answer is no. Are they going to treat me differently? The answer is probably not. But people are still hesitant, right? And so the nursing home is in a position where they want to help the family, but they also can't give legal advice on how to become eligible for Medicaid. And frankly, most of them don't know how they can really do it anyhow. And so what we've done is we created this workshop where families in this situation can come to the workshop and learn how the system really works. And we can teach you, here's a couple of things that you might be able to do to protect your family, your loved one, your money, your house, and make this bad situation maybe just a little bit better, because even though we have somebody in a long-term care setting, maybe they don't have to go broke as a result of it. And so so we are doing the Nuts and Bolts workshop. We do them right in our office. You should give us a call on RSVP, or you can register online, 724-841-1393, or find out more about it at secularlawfirm.com. Come on in, learn the stuff, meet our team, understand if we're a good fit for you. So whether you want to do the pre-planning workshop or whether you want to do the Medicaid crisis workshop, we are just giving out the information we think you ought to need, you ought to know to make the good decisions that matter to you and that matter to your family. So there you go. A couple of opportunities for you. If you're in the long-term care crisis situation, look, if you've got somebody paying $11,000 a month to a nursing home, it is not uncommon for us to save 50, 60% of their net worth by doing some crisis strategy. So to some families, that could mean a couple of $100,000 that we can help you save. If it's a married family, we can sometimes even do better than that. Now, all of these things are fact specific and there's no guarantees in this world. But I can tell you, I've been involved in cases where we've hit some real home runs where families thought they were about to go absolutely broke. They thought they were going to go to zero and ended up walking away after the experience, having saved substantial money and feeling way better about it from that standpoint. Because, you know, it's not all about just not losing money that the kids would otherwise inherit. In a lot of these situations, you've got the dad in the nursing home, the mom is the healthy spouse living out in the community. and she may live another 20 years. And so we have to take steps to make sure that she's okay. She can still afford her home. She can still afford the groceries and a decent retirement. And so because the system, unless you take steps, the system does not do that for you. The system will fail you. And so you've got to take steps to make the rules work for you. All right. Find out more, secularlawfirm.com. Now, in the last couple of minutes that I have here, I really want to switch gears, and I want to just comment on something, because a lot of my friends, a lot of my clients, a lot of people that are referral partners have been talking to me this week about my feelings on what's going on in Afghanistan. If you didn't know, I'm a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. I was there in 2005. And I think, like a lot of other veterans, it's really been a tough week. And I think it's an absolute failure of planning. I think it's absolute embarrassment. I think we have taken steps in the last couple of weeks that do not reflect who we are as Americans. I don't think that they reflect who we aspire to be as Americans. I really don't understand a lot of the arguments that are being made in favor of what we've done in Afghanistan. You know, this idea that that we're not nation builders and we can't stay there and the war's unpopular. Well, first, there are no popular wars. That's a fallacy to begin with. Second, the idea that we don't stick around after wars is just, it ignores history. You know, World War II ended almost 90 years ago. We're still in Japan. We're still in the Pacific. We're still in Germany. Yeah, maybe for different reasons. And I understand that situation is different from Afghanistan. But we're still in Korea. Korea ended, what, 60 years ago. We're still there. If we weren't still in Korea, they would be calling South Korea North Korea. We're still there. So what's different about those situations that is so different from what's going on in Afghanistan? You know, we went in there. We took down the bad guys. It took us a lot of time. We took down a lot of bad guys. We built some infrastructure. But that infrastructure only worked because we were there supporting it. The Afghan government wasn't strong enough to do it. That's why we've been there for 20 years. And to just walk away from it at this point in time seems to me to be the wrong answer. It seems to me to be to discount all the lives we've lost, to discount all the treasure we've given, to discount the promises that we've made to people. And I just want to leave the show with this. And it's kind of a sad thought, but it's kind of the reality of this. I've reflected a lot this week on my time when I was there. And, you know, my role there was what it was. We weren't kicking in doors looking for bad guys. It was more of a support and security element standpoint. But we did go out into the community there in the villages. And I've got this picture. I was going through the pictures that I had. And I've got this picture of my buddy handing a little toy to this little 2 or 3 year old girl. You know, we were out there and we were supporting medics who were giving health care to this village. And we had toys and candy and stuff for the kiddos. And I've got this picture of him handing this little stuffed animal to this little 2 or 3 year old girl. And she's cute as button. And I remember her. And that was 15 years ago. So this little girl that was 2 or 3 is probably about 18 years old right now. And so she would have been born after we invaded Afghanistan. And so for the first time in this lady's life, this 18-year-old woman's life, she's now under the reign of the Taliban, who are just terrible people. They're going to treat her poorly and her friends poorly. They sell off women as brides. They rape at will and they pillage. And I feel terrible when I look at this picture. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you are the praying type, if you talk to God regularly, I'm going to ask you to include this little girl in your prayers this week, because she's no longer a little girl. She's an 18-year-old, and she's probably currently terrified, and she's in a really difficult position, and she needs your prayers, and so do her friends, and so do her neighbors, and so do the other millions of people living in this country that are now in a world of hurt. And so, thanks. Give her your prayers. And if I can just comment one moment on what we saw on TV the other day. If you watched the president go on TV and explain his take on this situation, I don't talk about politics here, and I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm going to talk about leadership. That speech, I'm going to record, and I'm going to show my sons as an absolute failure of leadership. You do not stand in front of the world and use the phrase, the buck stops here, and then proceed to blame everyone else. This was a bad decision. It was his decision, and I regret that he made it. So for those that have reached out, I appreciate the fact that you're concerned about whether I'm upset about this. I am. You should be too. But with all that said, just remember that little girl who's now an 18-year-old and send out your prayers. She needs them. Okay? So thanks for listening to this week's show. I'm sorry to end it on a sad tone, but I felt like I needed to. And so thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me do it. And have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.